Welcome to the world of Shabbos. My name is Reuven Brand, and I invite you to listen in as we share a powerful burst of Torah that will transform your experience of Shabbos. Whether we'll be swaying with a group of Majitzer Hasidim at Shalashuddis or cracking a Talmudic mystery, we'll be pursuing a journey to deepen and enrich our weekly Shabbos experience. Let's get started. Today we are talking about one of the super important principles in Hilchos Shabbos, one of the most fundamental definitional issues that comes up when we have questions in Hilchos Shabbos, when we have conflicts. And this principle is going to illustrate many of the cheshbonos, many of the calculations that a rabbi or posek will make when a question comes up. So this concept we call in halacha, the Gemara refers to it as a davar she'eino miskaven, something which is an action, a maisa of heter that's totally permitted, and yet that the unintended consequence of that is going to be something which is prohibited. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Chof Beis Amid Aleph, Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Gor adamita kisa b'safsol v'vachli iskaven lasos chritz. You want to drag a bench outside on a patch of earth, you want to drag it inside in a house where there's a dirt floor, not a problem. Since even though it's going to likely make a furrow, it's not a problem because your intention is not to dig outside and violate the malacha of Choresh or dig inside a malacha of Bonet and make the malacha of Bonet. It's not an intention. It's davar she'enu miskavim. Reb Shimon's not the only man standing. The Mishnah says in Beitzel, Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, the Gemara explains there, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there is an iser of davar she'enu miskavim. This machlokas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda also exists in other areas of halacha beyond Hilchos Shabbos. It's way beyond the scope of this short, brief presentation to talk about all the different aspects and parameters. We're just going to give a brief overview, but just so you should be aware that this does appear, and there are some differences, Tosus and Yuma, Daf Lamed Daled talks about this, many differences between Davar She'eino Miskaven and Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula, but suffice to say for us, in Hilchos Shabbos, the machlokas tanaim, Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda, is there a problem of Davar She'eino Miskaven? However, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph that in the context of a child who's born, he has a mila that's necessary to be performed, but he has a nega, a spot of tzaras on the orla, on the foreskin. You're not allowed to just cut off tzaras. You have to follow the process. So are you allowed to cut off the foreskin for the purpose of mila and just incidentally, unintentionally cut off the tzaras? So the Gemara says, well, you have to have a special tzaras akasov to tell you that it's mutter. Why? So Abaye says, it's because it's Rabbi Yehuda. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, and that's why you need a pasuk. Rava says, no, even Reb Shimon agrees in this case, it's usher. Why? Motor Reb Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yamos. And the Gemara concludes that Abaye concurs that psik reisha, cutting off the head of a chicken so that you have the head for your child to play with and you're not intending for the chicken to die, it doesn't help you. That's not called a davar she'eino miskaven. That's called psik reisha, cutting off the head. That is a guaranteed result. And even though it's an unintended consequence, since it's guaranteed, it's an isra on Shabbos. And the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav that if you did that psik reisha, you are chayav. It's actually an iser doraisa, although that's subject to some discussion. So we have davar she'eino miskaven, unintended consequence. Now we have psik reisha. What's the argument? What's the reason? Why should it be that a psik reisha, a guaranteed consequence, doesn't have the leniency for Reb Shimon? So Rashi in Sukkah, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis explains. He says, Dibar Maskel, Motor Reb Shimon, psik reisha v'lo yamos. He says, "E'efshe shelo tamos, since it's inevitable the animal will die, ke miskaven chashev lei. It is as if you had that as your intention. The whole point of davar she'eino miskaven is that you do not intend for a malacha and issur d'oraisa on Shabbos, but here, since it's guaranteed, the outcome is certain, you are guaranteeing it. It's as if you were miskaven. Says the Hilchos Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, it's quoted in the Kovetz Shiurim and Ksuvos in a Siman Yud Ches, the Hilchos Rabbi Elchanan, he raise the question, is that the only way to look at this? Maybe there's another way to look at this. In the context of a nazir who's not allowed to remove his hair, he's not allowed to take a haircut or a shave, he's also not allowed, the Gemara says, the difference between brushing and combing. In the case of a comb, where it's a harsh comb and it's got very thick little fingers and it's got a guaranteed pull out hair, the nazir is not allowed to do that. So option one is to say like Rashi, because you're going to say that when you comb your hair and you certainly are going to take out the hair, it's as if you are having kavana, you're having the intention of pulling out the hair. The other way, he says Rabbi Elchanan, is you can understand this slightly differently. You could say that it's not that it's ke'ilu you're miskaving for pulling out the hair. You could say keiva the srika upsik reisha letlisha nimsa de tlisha bechlal srika. That when you're doing the combing, halachically we view it as if you are doing the hair removal. Says Rabbi Chanan, this difference of viewing explains the machlokas between Tosfos and the Aruch. In Shabbos on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph in Dira Maskel Lo and other places in Shas, Tosfos quotes the opinion of the Aruch. He was a very important Rishon, lived in Italy, died in about 1102. He lived in the same time as Rashi, although they didn't overlap really geographically, but he lived in the same time as Rashi, and Rashi's grandchildren, Tosfos, they quote the Aruch, who wrote a book of definition of terms in the Gemara, and in that book, the Aruch says, you know, if you have a psik resha, you have a definite outcome, but it's lo nichale. For example, you're dragging a bench and the earth is soft and the bench is so heavy that you know you're going to dig a hole. In that case, if it's happening in somebody's field that's not yours, your mortal enemy or somebody you don't care about, that's a psik resha, but it's lo nichale, it's mutter. So we have Davar Sheinu Miskaven for Reb Shimon is mutter. Psik resha, we say Reb Shimon agrees, it's absolutely usser. Rambam even usser min haTorah. But if it's a psik resha, delo nichale, says the Aruch, we kick it back to the original level, and it's heter gomer. Comes Tosfos and disagrees, they say absolutely not. And they quote a bunch of rayos to say absolutely not, it's usser. It's only usser midrabanan, but it's still usser. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the argument? The machlokas between Tosfos and the Aruch is this issue. According to the Aruch, the whole point of psik resha is that it makes it as if you are miskaving, it's if you are intending for this consequence. But if the consequence is something you don't want, you can't be forced to intend to have that consequence. Whereas Tosfos understands that it's chad maisa, it's one action. And therefore, since it's one action, it doesn't matter that you don't want it to happen. Midrabanan, you did that action. In Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Simon Shin, the Shulchan Aruch first quotes the opinion of the Aruch, but then he says v'cholku olav, and they disagree with him, and therefore the consensus in the Achronim is to be machmer for shitas Tosfos and to say the psik resha lo nichale is aser. Let's put that on the side, a different issue. So we now know there's a davar sheinu miskaven, there's psik resha, and even lo nichale according to Tosfos and the Shulchan Aruch is going to be aser midrabanan. But what about if the Isser in the first place, the Isser, the prohibition itself, it was only an Isser Durabanan. So if you look at the Trumas HaDeshen in Simon Samach Vav toward the end, the Trumas HaDeshen thinks, he says that when it comes to the case over there is where a non-Jew is stoking the coals in the oven that's going to heat up the food. He says, since it's a non-Jew doing it, it's only Amir La'akam, it's only Nisser Durabanan. There's a difference. Yesh Chiluk B'Shvus Durabanan B'Miskavin Gomer L'Lo Miskavin, the Psik Resha. He says, when it comes to the source of the Isra is only midrabanan. So let's say electricity with an LED light, it's only asur midrabanan. In that case, the Trumas HaDeshen holds, Rabbi Yehuda Isserlin from the 14th century, he holds that it's mutter on a drabanan. Comes the Magen Avram, the Halakha Magen Avram, Rav Avram Abel Gombiner, his commentary on Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yud Dalet Sifkat Hey, he says, V'li Tzarachian Algon. He says, I don't agree. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes other Achronim who also agree with the Magen Avram, who says that a psik resha on a drabanan is usser. So we have the first case where you have an isra, malacha doraisa, where according to Rabbi Shimon, which is how we pass, if it's darvashen miskaven, it's mutter, psik resha is usser, lo nichale, we'll say it's usser midrabanan. If the original isser is only midrabanan, we have a machlokas between the Trumas HaDeshen and the Magen Avram. So now think about all the questions that this comes up with. The issues of walking past an electric sensor that's going to turn on a light. Well, you're just walking. Yeah, but it's going to turn on the light. Well, it's davar sheinu miskaven. But if it's guaranteed, then it's a psik resha. Is it nichale? Is it not nichale? And then, is that light an incandescent light, or does it have a starter that's going to create an issur d'oraisa, or is it just an LED that's going to be an issur d'rabbanan? So comes the Halakha Rav Avadya and the Achav Hadas in Chelek Bei Simen Mem Vav, and he teaches us a klal, which is going to be very important, and it's true in many tshuvas. He quotes this all the time. The shaila here was beget sinteti shebishas levishaso pshitasu b'makom afel nira shiyotz memenu ke'ein nitzotzos esh. You have a synthetic garment, and the static energy that's created when you put it on and off, it creates little sparks. So are you allowed to don or remove that garment on Shabbos because you're creating these little sparks? So Rav Avadya says, well, wait a second, what's the nature of these sparks? It's only Issa Drabanan. It's not actually lighting a fire with fuel like wood and a match. He says, Mikol Mokom Zeh Rak B'Davar Sheikar Isur Mina Torah Avol Davar Shu Shvus Midivrei Sofrim, something that's Midrabanan, K'she'enu Miskaven V'hu P'sik Reisha. If it's Davar Sheinu Miskaven with a P'sik Reisha, D'lo Nichalei. But it's Lo Nichalei, and then he quotes a whole bunch, as Rav Avadya does in his encyclopedic fashion, a whole bunch of achronim, Rav Yitzchak Yochanan Spector, and the Tshuvas Batei Kahuna, and Rav Yosef Shaul Natanson, and a whole bunch of other ones, who says that Ipsik Reisha de Lo Nichale, and Isser Drabanan, Yesh Lahakal Bazeh, Af Lachatchila. So, a case where somebody leaves the light on in their refrigerator, so if it's Nichale, they like the fact that they have their fridge lit up, and that's generally the case during the week. Nichale and no Nichale is not about a Shabbos circumstance. Of course, it's Lo Nichale that it's on Shabbos that you have to turn it on. It's a question of during the week. During the week, do you want to have the light bulb on? Do you appreciate having it on? If yes, then that's Nichale. But if it's no Nichale, and the light bulb is an incandescent light bulb, then it's an Issa D'oraisa. But if it's only an LED light bulb, then it's going to be Drabanan. So if you have Darvar Shein Miskaven, the unintended consequence of opening the fridge door, then there's the psik ratio, the immediacy of the light turning on, which is why we're not talking about the motor and the refrigerator. That's more of a grumma, a whole separate discussion. So now the light turns on. If it's an LED light and it's low nichale, you could care less. During the week, you don't even care if the light bulb is on or off, then it's not going to be a problem. It's going to be motel chatchila. Same thing if, let's say, you have an alarm where the pad turns a certain light on or off when the door opens, but if you take a piece of tape and you cover over that light, and the light is an LED light, so it's totally no nichale. You're not even paying attention to it. You cover it during the week, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So to summarize this, which is at the heart of so many different halachic shailas, we have the concept of Darvar Shein Miskaven, Machlokas, Reb Shimon, Reb Yehuda. We paskin like Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon is mutter when it's a psik reisha. Now, if it's a psik reisha, it depends. If it's nichale, then it's going to be for sure an Issa D'oraisa, according to the Rambam. If it's Lo Nichale, then it's going to be Machlokas, Tosfos, and the Aruch. We're going to be Machmer for Shitas Tosfos. But, as we saw, it's Machlokas about whether or not a Psik Reisha is going to apply to an Issa D'Rabbanan or not. Machlokas, Trumas HaDesh, and Amogen Avram. So says Rav Avadya, if you put two and two together, if you have a Psik Reisha Lo Nichale, when the whole Issa initially was only Midrabbanan, then it's going to be Mutter even Lechatchila. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The World of Shabbos. Please subscribe to this podcast and leave us a great review. For more Torah learning opportunities, please check out our Kollel's website, www.torahchicago.org.